Last Sunday, we looked at Paul's writing to the Philippians. Paul was reflecting on a discovery that changed his life. You'll remember how Paul was a man who was confident that he was at the right place at the right time. Remember that Paul thought at one time that he was God's man on earth. He had all the right credentials. We read through them last week. His confidence was that he was where he needed to be spiritually. It could be summed up in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, where he describes himself saying, as for legalistic righteousness, you know, you can almost see him boasting at that point in his life. As for legalistic righteousness, he says, faultless. Of course, the discovery was that he wasn't where he thought he was. He was wrong. He was misplaced. He discovered that he was completely off base. Everything that he thought was good and right and true, it turned out that it was backwards, and it was actually harmful to him. All his credentials that he thought made him something special, he came to realize that they're actually working against him. He realized he wasn't quite where he thought he was. And with this new discovery, he set upon himself a new goal. Instead of legalistic righteousness for the law, he came to conclude in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he came to conclude, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. What a shift has taken place. From legalistic righteousness, faultless, to I want to know Christ and his resurrection. He not only discovered he was heading in the wrong direction, he discovered that there's some things he needs to change in his life. The truth is, the direction we're heading on is so important. We looked at this last week in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Where are we headed? If we were to take a look at our lives, and this is what I kind of closed with last Sunday, where are we headed? What direction are we in? Where are we going? And I hope you've had time to think about that over the week, because this morning I'd like to continue on that thought and address the question of how do we get to where we want to go? How do we get to where we need to go? Once we have our eyes on the right goal, how do we get there? Once we have our direction set towards Christ, how do we move in the right direction? Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. I'd like for us to take a look at that a little more closely this morning. Paul continues. Now remember, this is just after he finished talking about how he thought he had everything figured out in life, and how it turned out it was all backwards. And then he says, well, now I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. So then he says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want us to notice, first of all, in this passage, Paul's determination in verse 12. It's actually repeated in verse 12 and then later on in verse 14. And that is his focus, his statement that he needs to press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And it might not seem like a very significant statement, but there's something very strongly implied in that statement, and that is that in our spiritual journey, there comes the time where we have to press on. And to press on seems to imply to me that there is a challenge ahead, that this isn't necessarily a walk in the park, that there is going to be obstacles, that there's going to be challenges, that there's going to be hardships. That's why he's saying, I need to press on. And he actually repeats himself both in verse 12 and verse 14. Of course, the whole picture that Paul is drawing here is that of an athlete in a race. And in a race, there comes a time when the athlete will be exhausted to the point of collapse. I'm sure when you're running a long race, especially, there comes a time when you might feel like, I need to give up. I can't do this. This is too much. It's too hard. My muscles are aching. My feet are sore. Every muscle might be crying out in pain. And yet the athlete presses on. It's not necessarily easy. And so the fact that Paul tells us in his spiritual journey, once he has his eyes set on Christ, I want to know Christ, he's emphasizing, yes, I need to press on despite the hardships. And he would face lots of hardships. And he had faced already lots of hardships, more than we can imagine. If you ever think that life is difficult for you, read Paul's story. Obstacles, challenges, so much, shipwrecks, beaten many times, having to escape, being lowered in a basket out the side of a wall of a building. He learned to press on. And just to say that our spiritual pilgrimage isn't necessarily going to be without challenges. Press on. The goal is worth it. Our citizenship in heaven, Paul talks about in verse 20. That's what he has his eyes on. Press on. And secondly, I notice here in verse 13, he talks about one thing I do. Not 100 things, not even a dozen things, one thing. If we are going to make it, if we are going to keep in the direction that we need to go spiritually, we need to be focused. We need to stay focused. One thing I do. Oh, sure, he had lots of responsibilities. He had lots of things he had to do. I'm not suggesting that. But there was one thing that was central to his life and purpose, and that was to know Christ. Makes me wonder, if I had to sum up my life, my dreams, my pursuits, goals into one thing, what's the one thing that summarizes my life? What would it be? Would it be video games? I don't know. Would it be alcohol? Would it be work? What is the one thing that would summarize you? If you wrote it down, if you had to think about it and write it down, a summary statement of my life, what is the one thing? The reality is that so many times our good intentions get sidetracked because of all the distractions of life. There are many demands upon us. How in the world do we maneuver our way through them all? I think the answer is focus. Where is our focus? What is our primary one focus in life? For Paul, it was Christ, keeping his eyes on him. Yes, we need food, shelter, all those good things. God already knows that. He will provide. I know that for myself, one of the greatest hindrances to my spiritual focus is distractions. What is it that distracts you? What is your focus? We need to press on. We need to be focused. And I think they're all important, but if I had to pick one that's maybe most important, I'd say it's this third piece of advice from Paul. And that is in verse 13, he talks about forgetting what is behind. Whether our past is full of victory and joy, or whether it's full of pain and sorrow, the past can be a hindrance to our progress. And for Paul, it was important for him to say, forgetting what is behind. I don't know what your past details are like, but if we're going to move forward spiritually, there comes a place where we have to be forgetting the past. Now you might say, well, that's easy for you to say, Norm. That's easy for Paul to say. You don't know my past. And I would say to you that Paul was a guy who didn't have a very good past. If there's anyone who would have been haunted by his past, if there's anyone who could have been living with regrets, if there's anyone who would have felt the weight of guilt so heavy, it would have been Paul who wrote this. He had a nasty past. You know about Paul. He persecuted Christians. He took delight in seeing them hauled off to jail. He was present and gave approval when Stephen was martyred, stoned to death. He thought he was God's man on earth at one time, filled with pride. And yet he came to the place where he realized that he had it all wrong. If anyone could have lived a life filled with regret and guilt and been bogged down, it would have been Paul. It would have been easy for him to come to the conclusion that God would never trust him again, that God would never love him again. He could have easily come to the conclusion that nobody would trust him. Of course, Ananias did, and so did Barnabas. He could have thrown his hands up in the air and said, "What's the use? I'm far too gone. I'm too far gone." And so when Paul talks about forgetting the past, he's talking from a man who has a lot of experience, a lot of pain, a lot of past. Does that mean he literally forgot it? Of course not. What it means is that the past no longer had a hold on his life. And it no longer had a hold on him because now Christ had a hold on his life. You see, that is why it is so important to put the past behind. Because until we get the past behind us, we can't have both. We can't have it both ways. We can't have our past ruling us and Christ ruling us at the same time. But because of Christ's work, his grace, his love, his forgiveness, Paul doesn't need to linger in the pain of the past. I'm fairly certain that one of the greatest hindrances that we have is our past. Like it or not, we all have a past. And it's not all very good. And maybe, and I trust for most of you, most of us here, this is the case. You've already looked at the past, given it to God, and it's behind you. And if you have done that, if you are there, I'm not at all suggesting that you go back and revisit the past again. If you have brought your past to the foot of the cross and said, Jesus, you take this. You bring me healing. You bring me wholeness. You take this pain, this sorrow, this guilt. And if you've left that at the foot of the cross, I'm not suggesting that you need to go back once again and deal with it again. No. But if there is some area in your life where the past, you haven't given it to the Lord truly, it will be a stranglehold on your life until you do. Regrettably, for most people, when they look at their past, they see pain. They see sorrow. All of us have regret to some degree or another. For many, there is tremendous guilt. There's often failure, personal failure. Yes, other people have wronged us, but we've also failed ourselves. And truthfully, we've probably all wondered if God can ever use us again. Logically, we know that the answer is yes. If God could use Peter, who had denied and disowned Jesus so strongly, and Jesus not only forgave him but restored him, we know that God can use us. But we need to give the past to God. Until we do, it has a hold on us. Whether it's our own indulgence in sin or the sins of our fathers, our mothers, our siblings, or maybe someone else in your life who is close to you that has hurt you deeply, the past becomes a hurdle. And if that's where you're at today, struggling with something, I want to encourage you by reminding you that it is entirely possible to be set free from the pain or the guilt of the past. But it is only through Jesus Christ. Now, I know that sounds like a simple answer, and I'm not trying to simplify a complex situation. It isn't easy. But what I am saying is that our only hope from release from the bondage of the past is in Christ. God does a work in us. He forgives us. He restores us, and he helps us to forgive those who have trespassed against us. He helps us to forgive those who caused us deep pain. Satan would love to keep bringing it back up again. We need to seriously give it to the Lord. There is the past. We can't live there anymore. God has redeemed that. If you've come to Christ, that is our hope. This morning we're going to take communion in just a moment. And I thought it'd be rather fitting for us as we take communion today to focus on the work of Christ in our lives. And as we take communion, to remember that we have been bought by the blood of Jesus. To heal our past, to forgive our past, to put it behind, to leave it there. And so when we take communion this morning, I want to encourage you to focus on that aspect today. That because of the blood of Christ, the past is left behind. And there's a new you now. But it's got to be in Christ. If it's not in Christ, it won't work. We got to be in Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to thank you today for your work in our lives. And Father God, I pray that this morning that you would help us just to recognize, remember the sacrifice that you made, the shed blood of our Savior that sets us free from the guilt and the shame and the pain of the past. Lord God, in Christ, we are made a new creation. The old is gone. All things become new. And I pray, Father God, that we would experience that yet once again this morning through our time of communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.